Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to the last service of 2013. Calling in the lost tonight. And see, today's the 29th. So we have Monday and Tuesday. Now, Monday and Tuesday could be two of the most important days of your life if you give them to God. I like to take the last few days of the year and really spend time praying, listening, looking for any adjustments he might want to make. Sometimes it's not just minor adjustments. Sometimes it's not just minor adjustments. Sometimes it's major adjustments in your life. Wouldn't it be great if we went to a church where you could be taught how to find out his plan for your life? Wouldn't that be... Oh, wait a minute. We're at that church. Let's look at a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And really the verse I'm after is verse 15. We'll start in verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now to me, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, let's stop for a moment. I'm headed to verse 15. We're going to appear before him one day, that judgment seat of Christ. Not to find out whether we're getting into heaven or not. How many of you know the blood is enough? You're not here on a Sunday night when it's 28 degrees, trying to barely squeak into heaven. You guys are here because you want the best that he has, and you want to give the best that you have for him. And I don't want to stand before him on that day and be surprised. I don't want to stand before him and offer him good works that were of my own devising. I remember the story I heard years ago. See, I do get involved in marrying people. It just comes with the territory. Brides usually are pretty specific in what they want for their wedding. And, you know, they may hire a caterer to serve the food, and they want fish, and they want this, and they want that, and they're very specific about it, you know. So a bride does that and hires a world-famous chef, you know, a caterer guy that's well-known. And she wants him to serve the, I'm not good at, you know, let's say fish and other stuff. I'm terrible at this. But when the wedding happens and the food is served, it's excellent food. But he serves roast beef, carrots, and I'm talking about what I like. Roast beef, carrots, and potatoes. Mashed potatoes with brown gravy on everything. You know, hot rolls. Coconut cream pie, you know. And it's excellent. Everybody loves it. Everybody. Oh, man. That was the best food. And everybody is happy except one person. And that's the bride. So later, when she meets with the caterer after the service, and he says, oh, everybody was just raving about the food. Aren't you pleased? And she says, well, I am pleased that they were pleased. I'm glad they liked the food that you prepared, but I just have one question. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Oh, I don't want to stand there that day and ask him if he likes the roast beef and potatoes that I served when he was asking me to serve something else. I lived that life for 12 years, pretty much, after Sue and I got saved and Spirit-filled through Michael Muccio's ministry. And Michael, he did really good. He taught us all that he knew. He had us praying, but we didn't really know, like what we've been taught here, about finding the true leadership of the Spirit. But those first 12 years, I tell you what, there was very little leadership of the Spirit. We had the moral compass. You know, the new nature is a green light, red light. It's a moral compass. You can know that's wrong and not know why you know it's wrong. You can be fixing to go to a movie and that witness on the inside don't watch that movie and you don't know why. But there's a reason. And other things, you know. Sometimes other Christians will be doing things, but you just can't do it. It's a perfect moral compass. Yes, no, green light, red light. Not a whole lot of other information beyond that. But God didn't give us our new nature to be led by. Not when it comes to his plan for our life. He says, no, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost. And his job, the reason for him coming, is to bring us the very mind of Christ. In the same way that Jesus, see, I don't ever find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't ever find Jesus saying, you know, the disciples come one day, and they say, Lord, here we are. What's the plan? He'll say, well, I've been watching you boys, and I think you've come to the place now you just don't need me to make those decisions for you anymore. Just going to leave you on your own today. I'm just going to sit here and you guys go decide on your own what you want to do. Y'all ever see that? I don't see any days like that. No, he is the head of the church. He is Lord. Now, I like the way Alan taught it. He says, when it comes to his kids, you know, he says, there's boundaries. Yes, you may play in the backyard. Do not leave the backyard. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that he's out there, okay, climb that limb, but don't climb that limb. Play in the sandbox or, you know, no, just stay in the yard. You do have freedom within that. You know, Paul was called primarily to the Gentiles. Yeah, he did have a calling to the Jews too, but mainly to the Gentiles, which I'm sure really surprised him. I'm sure it didn't really please him too much. You know, he had an opinion about these swine-eating Gentiles, you know. But see, he asked the best question you can ask when he got knocked onto the ground, you know, that day on his road to Damascus. The first question was, who are you? Found out, got saved. Second question is the best one you can ask, Lord, what would you have me do? And there it is. There it is. He's the king. He is Lord and head of the church. I have freedom within what he's called me. You know, he did not stand, as far as I know, when he gave me that instruction to make all of the teachings at our website available free like water. Okay, there it is. I know what. Okay, that means don't charge for stuff. Okay, boy, did I have opportunity to come up with reasons to charge for stuff. Okay, but that's the yard that I'm to play in. That is my assignment. But as far as I can tell, he did not stand over my shoulder and say, this is how you do an MP3. This is how you make one. This is how you tag it. No, he needed me to go learn that stuff. But what matters is not Gary's will. What matters is his will. So let's come on down here. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and everyone may receive the things done in his body. I got to tell you something else right there. That everyone may receive according to their good intentions. It's not in there, is it? We're going to receive based on what we did. Well, I was going to start giving to the poor. I was going to start clothing the naked. I was going to start an animal shelter. I was going to... And you're not going. None of that counts for anything. What you're going to get an account of is what did you do? And was it his stuff or was it your stuff? And we see that just a little further down here. So, okay, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences, that we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. Now, here we go again. Later, he talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These false apostles were coming through and trying to persuade the people based on their appearance. They wore the right clothes, they had the right camel, the right donkeys, they were great orators. Everything was based on, look on the outside, don't you want to be like me? But Paul says, I have different weapons than that. Yes, he did. He had the gifts of the Spirit. He had the working of miracles. He had the Holy Ghost co-laboring with him. He says, I may be rude in appearance and rude in speech, but I am not an ignorant man. Glory to God. Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. In other words, everything I'm doing, even when I seem crazy to you, even if we seem to be beside ourselves, Paul, you're acting crazy. Well, it seems to you we are, everything we're doing it unto God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And here's the verse. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I prophesy, I really do. It's not coming in that form. But what I heard this afternoon in prayer, this year coming up is the year where we sell out to him. There's going to be great division coming in the church, and I'm talking about the prayer center, with good intentions, but great warfare. Some will stay, some will go. And I'm telling you, that's okay. I pray I'm one that stays. But if I need to go in order for revival to come, I'm okay with that too. You hear me? I want his will. If I'm in the way, get me out of the way. Is that okay with you? If I can't change and be a part of what he wants to do, then I'm okay with him removing me from the prayer center. I'm okay with it. And I'm not thinking about leaving, don't get me wrong. It's the year of selling out to him. Whatever his will is. I don't live unto myself anymore. Those 12 years before, I started to say, before we found this walk, where I didn't know how to hear his voice, I would make up, Sue and I would pray, we would think, opportunities would present themselves. And we did all kinds of things. I couldn't begin to tell you during that 12 years, all of the different things that we got involved in. Trying to be good, how do you want to put it, good servants of his, good stewards for him. We did prison ministry. We did Bible studies. I was a worship leader in a church for a while. You know that can't be God. I mean, that just can't be God. I mean, I sang and everything. You know? I mean, come on. It's not my gift, you know. Nobody else there could play anything, so I was it. It was either that or a kazoo, you know. So, but when I look back on that 12 years, he blessed us all that he could. It's not like that's horribly wrong. If you don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord, it's the only way to walk. But boy, once we came here and we started hearing, there was a way. There was actually a leadership for Gary. See, I used to complain all the time. I wish there was a book of Gary in here. I love the Word of God. Don't you wish there was a book of Gary? Oh, I do. I'm 67 next month. I'd like to go to 1 Gary, chapter 67. Thou shalt. Wouldn't that be great? But I've read the whole thing. It's not in there. There's all kinds of general things in there, but when it comes to my specific leadership and what he's called me to do, it's not there. And then thank God for the day in 1992 that we walked through the door of the prayer center. And we found out from Pastor Dave, thank God for Pastor Dave.
that God did not leave us as orphans, trying to find our own way. He gave us this Holy Spirit and a supernatural prayer language that would circumvent that natural thinking process of ours, where we don't have to figure it out anymore. Without even knowing what His will is, I can pray His perfect will. Glory to God. A masterstroke of genius. And all I have to do is be willing. It's the authority of the will that He gave me. The only real battle is, will I yield my will to praying in the Spirit rather than doing whatever my flesh wants to do? And God's even better than that. Now, if you tell anybody I told you this, I'll have to edit it off the tape or something. Tape. Did you know you can watch the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears play football and pray in tongues at the same time? How good is God? I just got to watching Green Bay crush those evil Bears, you know. Praying in tongues, glory to God. Now don't get me wrong, there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues, even if you're praying while your mind is, that's the beauty of it. Your mind can be occupied doing other things. But see, what I'm really talking about, we have tonight and two more days before the first of the year. Boy, there's no substitute for getting alone with Him. Getting quiet if you can. I know you have jobs and responsibilities, but any time that you can, boy, this is a good time of the year. I try to get alone. And so what I mean alone, I mean, well, Sue and I, we can be in the same room. I don't mean that way. I just mean where I'm not out amongst them. And get quiet. Pray and listen. Pray and listen. Boy, sometimes, I don't always, sometimes I've prayed for 20 hours and not heard a thing. I mean, 10 hours one day, 10 hours another day, not heard a thing. That does not mean those were wasted hours. It just means I haven't totally prayed that mystery out yet. I may pray one more hour and get the whole benefit of the full 21. You see what I'm saying? You are literally praying out a mystery or mysteries. And as you comprehend them, as your spirit understands them, eventually it's your spirit that really turns around to your mind and says, hey, come here. Gives you that revelation. That's when you have the vision or the understanding comes or whatever it is, you know. But see, verse 15. I don't know about you. I do know about you. You wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't seeking His will. Yeah. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. It doesn't get any more complicated than, Lord, what would you have me do? Now go to John 6. Now this next portion will get me thrown out of a lot of churches. A lot of people don't like it, but it's scripture anyway. I don't trust my own will. And the reason, and I mean, I've been at this 30, you see, what year is this? 14, 30, be 34 years coming into now. I've been at this a long time. I still don't trust my own will. I don't trust it. You know why I don't trust it? Because Jesus didn't trust His. See right there how quiet it got? How can you say that, Gary? In the garden, what did he pray? Not my will. Not my will. See, Jesus is God in the flesh. But he laid down all of his rights to divinity. He did not function as God. Who we see there in that garden is a spirit-born man wearing fallen flesh, anointed by the Holy Ghost, just like us. He is God in the flesh, but he's not operating as God in the flesh. So he had a human will like everybody else has a human will. And if the Son of God, in full maturity, if his prayer is, not my will, but thine be done, and he had to agonize with it to the point that he sweat great drops of blood, don't tell me it's okay for me to trust my will. I need to find out His will. And then I need to do His will no matter what my flesh says. Mm. He talks about that same thing here in John 6 quite a bit. We'll just pick it up in verse 35, a very familiar verse. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We should worship God for about 4 hours right there. Now here it is, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you see there's a difference? If words mean anything, there's a difference. I didn't come to do my own will. We say, well, his will was the same as the Father's. Then why is that verse in the Bible? Why is that verse in the Bible? Why is it necessary? So we would learn not to trust our own will. Good intentions are not the same. When Sue and I first came to the prayer center, there was another preacher here at the time that, at that time, he kind of did what I do now. And now it's not quite the way it was even then, because we have a multitude of teachers now that teach. But at that time, it was pretty much Dave and this other fella, and whenever Dave was gone, the other fella would teach. Well, that guy, he got to where he did not like me. He just did not like me at all. This is the same guy that later on I had to give my pickup to, you know. He did not like me. He started preaching against me and my family. He actually got some of the members of my family to the point that they came to our house. I almost cry when this comes. It was one of the hardest days of my life. But the husband and who got convinced, who wasn't the daughter so much, she was just trying to be a good submissive wife. But he came and just said that him and her would never be under our roof again. And if they had children, those children would never be under our roof. Because this preacher had convinced them that if they came under our roof, my curse would come on them. I have been married to Sue now for 38 years. I've known her, though, a lot more like 48 years, since the eighth grade. And I have never seen my wife cry like I saw her cry that day. Gary had a will at that moment. Gary met that preacher because Gary wasn't listening to God. A few days later, I arranged to meet him at a restaurant. I said, why don't you and I just step out in the parking lot and finish this? Come on, let's man up. And he probably could have whipped me. He's a lot younger than me. That was Gary's will. I look back on that now. That is not the will of the Father. Later on, as I continued, we didn't step out in the parking lot. I would have. Later on, as I continued to do the message, everyone say, do the message. The Lord, His will, He said for me to give that guy my pickup. That's the guy. I thought the Lord had gone stark raving nuts. What, are you crazy? That must be a devil. I can't be God. This guy's destroying my family. And you want me to give him my pickup? My beloved pickup? That's when I said, which one? Like I had more than one. Or no, I said, what pickup? Yeah, you know, I only had one. I couldn't believe it. I started learning there's a big difference between my will, yes, sir, I'll tell you about another time. Well, so I think these are good, you know. If it doesn't come down to practicality, I really am a pragmatic, whoever said that today. If you can't use it, what good is it, see? You know, I was raised in a house in a construction business, so I grew up in a family business operated out of a home pretty much. Construction business of my dad's. And I ran that for years. Now, that was good experience for me because now we're running a home ministry basically out of our home and our daughter's home.
And it's very much the same. A lot of the things are, you know, how you report to the IRS and all kinds of things are very much the same. Payroll's the same, you know. Accounting is very much the same. But I've been in those positions now. And I remember before, in our, you know, the calendar is B.C. and A.D. In our life, it's B.D., which is before Dave, and A.D., which is after Dave, you know. So before Dave, I remember, you know, an employee would be messing up or whatever in the concrete business or whatever, and I remember, hey, you'd fire that guy, read him the riot act, see you, wouldn't want to be you. You're gone. You're out of here. Later on, now that I know how to listen to him more, certain things will happen. And I don't think of any of my current employees. This has happened over years now. You find out that natural wisdom, the will of man, good intentions, and you always have justification. That wisdom of man always has justification for everything it does. In my mind, I had justification for wanting that guy to step out in the parking lot. So you always have justification. But I found out now, more often than not, when I'm ready to fire somebody, if I just take a little time, just a little time at all, and I listen, do you know he's got a whole nother attitude towards that person? He's probably got them working for me for the very reason that I can help them get delivered, set free, and become better at what they do than they were before. He didn't send them to me for me to be like the world to them. Ouch is what, ouch. Because it's a lot easier just to be rid of the problem, get somebody else. Let's look at verse 38 again, because he keeps going here a little bit. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. If there's no difference in those two things, there's no reason to say those words. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, you're going to find out that's still the will of him. And that will doesn't change just because you're having problems with that individual. How does Dave say that? It's not the people that you really get along with well that God is using to mature you. It's the ones that you have difficulty with. Those are the ones that God is using to mature you. We're in John. Start headed towards 14. We're going to 14, 15, 16, somewhere right in there. But the real question then is, how do I know the will of the Father? Well, this is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. John 14, look at verse 15. Now, you know what's going on here. He starts telling them, this is the passage, 14, 15, 16, where he's telling them he's leaving the planet. We're just hours away from the cross here. And he's letting them know that he's about to leave the planet. That had to be scary for them. I've tried to meditate what that would feel like if I was Peter or James or John. For 3 or 3.5 years, I forsook everything and I followed this Jesus. And boy, am I glad I did. The miracles that I've seen, and not only the miracles I've seen, he actually anointed me. And I've the bread multiplied in my hands as I passed it out, and the fish multiplied in my hands as I passed it out, because he blessed it. And he anointed me to cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead. And man, I'm glad I chose to follow him. And I'm sure they thought this is going to continue till the end. And now he's saying, I'm leaving. Is this over? What? What do you mean you're leaving? Well, I notice Jesus does not say to them, well, you don't need me anymore. You've matured, you've graduated, you're able to make your own decisions from here. Is that what he says?
No.
Starting in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now that's so important. Honestly, I don't think they wanted another comforter. They don't know this Holy Ghost. They know Jesus. They love Jesus. But at least he's telling them right here. He says, "You'll never. I know you're feeling the pain of what I just told you, that I'm leaving. This other comforter, now you're going to get to know him. You're never going to have to go through this again. This comforter, when he comes to you, he's never going to leave you like I'm having to leave you now." I could just camp right there and have revival right there. And then it gets even better. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a lot of favorite verses. Have you noticed that? I will not leave you comfortless. And you know the Greek word there is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now think their frame of mind. Every day they have gotten their instructions from the Master. They didn't have to guess what to do. They didn't have to think, what is my plan for my day? He gave them his plan for their day, every day. But now he says he's leaving. He says, don't worry, I'm sending another comforter. He's never going to leave you. You're not going to be an orphan. Think, what's the status of an orphan? No one to guide them. No one to provide for them. No one to take care of them. He says, I'm not going to leave you like that. And notice how he says, I will come to you. Does that mean he's physically coming back right then? No, I will come to you, but I'm coming by way of this comforter. I'm coming by way of this comforter. His job is to bring you those same instructions, just like you've received them every day. Just like you've received them. Only now it's not going to be from my physical lips to your physical ears. The Holy Spirit is going to bring it from my mind to your spirit. And I'm going to give you a language where you can perfectly pray so that the Father can answer that plan. Even when you don't know what the plan is, this Holy Ghost, he knows the plan. You pray it, the Father will answer it. I will not leave you as an orphan. You're not going to be left without my leadership. You're not going to be left without my counsel. You're still going to have me as your Lord. But how you receive my lordship is just coming by a different way. Not from my physical mouth to your physical ears, but from my mind, through the Holy Ghost to your spirit. As your spirit receives it, that moment, later we find out the understanding at that moment is unfruitful, but it does not stay unfruitful. Eventually, as your spirit understands these mysteries, it turns around, communicates with your mind, and you know what to do. Make all the teachings free like water. I heard that. I don't know how long. I wish I knew how long I prayed that mystery out before I heard it. Now, it took me about 4 years to walk it out. I mean, that was a big backyard. It was a big backyard. There was a lot to do. A lot of things to learn, frustration along the way. Had to hire certain people, had to spend money, had to do all kinds of things. But I knew I couldn't leave that yard until I accomplished what he said. Lord, what would you have me do? Go down to verse 12 of chapter 16. We've got time for this. I'll never forget when this verse went off in my spirit. I'm just picturing the 12. There was probably more than the 12 here on this day. But let's just picture for a minute the 12. And surely Peter was one of them. We all love Peter because he was bold enough to say what we're all thinking.
You know, what are we going to get out of it? You know, everybody was thinking it, but only Peter would ask it. So I'm trying to picture Peter there. He has heard every sermon that Jesus has preached for 3.5 years. And you know, Jesus taught many times. He would teach the same sermon in different towns. Like, there'd be slight variation, but I'm sure he heard over and over and over again many of those same sermons. But he's heard them all. But then Jesus says this astounding thing. Here's Peter just sitting there with the 12. And he says, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And if I'm Peter, you got a lot of things to say. You're leaving. You just got through telling us you're leaving. And you got a lot of things you'd like to say to me. Say on, Lord. Say on. Tell me what it is, you know. And we don't have time to go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells you why. See, as long as you've got that spirit of the world in you, you can't really be taught the things of the Spirit of God. There's only one message for a spiritually dead person, and that's Christ and Him crucified. Once you get born again, that's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, now we have not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. For these things are spiritually discerned. I wish the church knew that. The church at large, I mean. We have whole seminaries training the brain. And the truth of God, the real things of God, are not mentally discerned anyway. They're spiritually discerned. Your spirit's the one that trains your brain. It can't really work the other way. I've known people that know the Bible mean as a snake. So that's really what he was telling Peter. He's going, look, I've brought you with these parables using natural illustrations for natural people as far as I can. I can't really even teach you the rest of what I want to teach you until you're born again. Now, Jesus knows that's going to happen. Peter doesn't know it's going to happen. But now he starts talking about, after that, he starts talking about the teacher of Peter's new nature when it comes. So he says, I can't tell you these things. And we know, because you're not born again. He didn't say that, but that's why he couldn't teach them. They're spiritually discerned, Peter, and you have no spirit of God in you right now. But you're going to have a new nature in you. Then, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the new nature. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, for years that was blind to me. He shall not speak of himself. I thought it meant that the Holy Ghost would never talk about himself. But that's not true. Jesus, about 2 or 3 chapters before this, Jesus said, I speak not of myself. But he talked about himself all the time. I am the bread of life. I am the manna. He that drinks my blood and eats my flesh. He talked about himself all the time. What he meant by that is, I'm not speaking of my own authority. I'm speaking what the Father told me to speak. What he's saying here, the Holy Ghost is not going to speak on his own authority. What he hears, that's what he's going to speak to you. What do you mean, what he hears? That's the master stroke of genius. See, at that time, all the believers were in one part of the world. All right there. Talk to the physical Jesus. Get your instructions every day. Here we are 2,000 years later with millions of believers all around the world. How's he going to get his instructions to you? Email? What? You know? No. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's with every believer. He's with God the Father, God the Son. He's omnipresent, I think is the right word. It's the perfect stroke of genius. He can receive every instruction instantly, precisely from the mind of Christ. The perfect will of God for every little believer all around the world. And instantly communicate that to your spirit, no matter where you are. What a plan. What a plan. And then to activate that plan, you don't even have to know what it is. You just have to be smart enough to let Him pray it. Because He knows the plan of God. And He makes intercession for saints according to the will of God. Say this with me. This is the year of selling out to God. Not my will, but thine be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I would encourage you over the next couple of days to go ahead and, if you can, if your job allows it, or if we get home, if you have some time, spend what time you can in prayer. Have a recorder with you or something to write with, because I'm telling you, he's prone to talk. And if you're seeking him, he's looking for those that are seeking after his will, boy. He's not trying to keep it from you. He's trying to get it to you. And when you hear it, don't run from it. I will tell you this. When you hear him, it's bigger than you. Don't let that scare you. Don't let that scare you. He's never yet asked me to do anything I could afford. But we have accomplished some pretty good things over the years. And still accomplishing. And I expect it to be much more this next year. Amen. Amen.